أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الناس أنتم الفقراء إلى الله، والله هو الغني الحميد. إن يشأ يذهبكم ويأتي بخلق جديد، وما ذلك على الله بعزيز. ولا تزر وازرة وزر أخرى، وإن تدع مثقلة إلى حملها لا يحمل منه شيء ولو كان ذا قربى. إنما تنذر الذين يخشون ربهم بالغيب وأقاموا الصلاة، ومن تزكى فإنما يتزكى لنفسه، وإلى الله المصير. وما يستوي الأعمى والبصير، ولا الظلمات ولا النور، ولا الظل ولا الحرور، وما يستوي الأحياء ولا الأموات، إن الله يسمع من يشاء، وما أنت بمسمع من في القبور. إن أنت إلا نذير. إنا أرسلناك بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا، وإن من أمة إلا خلا فيها نذير. وإن يكذبوك فقد كذب الذين من قبلهم، جاءتهم رسلهم بالبينات وبالزبر وبالكتاب المنير. ثم أخذت الذين كفروا، فكيف كان نكير. صدق الله العظيم.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قد أفلح المؤمنون الذين هم في صلاتهم خاشعون، والذين هم عن اللغو معرضون، والذين هم للزكاة فاعلون، والذين هم لفروجهم حافظون، إلا على أزواجهم أو ما ملكت أيمانهم فإنهم غير ملومين. فمن ابتغى وراء ذلك فأولئك هم العادون، والذين هم لأماناتهم وعهدهم راعون، والذين هم على صلواتهم يحافظون، أولئك هم الوارثون، الذين يرثون الفردوس هم فيها خالدون. ولقد خلقنا الإنسان من سلالة من طين ثم جعلناه نطفة في قرار مكين ثم خلقنا النطفة علقة فخلقنا العلقة مدغة فخلقنا المدغة عظاما فكسونا العظام لحما ثم أنشأناه خلقا آخر فتبارك الله أحسن الخالقين. صدق الله العظيم.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والتين والزيتون وطور سينين وهذا البلد الأمين. لقد خلقنا الإنسان في أحسن تقويم ثم رددناه أسفل سافلين. إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات فلهم أجر غير ممنون. فما يكذبك بعد بالدين؟ أليس الله بأحكم الحاكمين؟ صدق الله العظيم. रंग लाएगी कब मेरी आहें, रंग लाएगी कब मेरी आहें, फिर मदीना की जानिब को जाए। जब नजर आओ समझे गुम्बत कह के सल्ले आला झूम जाए, कह के सल्ले आला झूम जाए, फिर मदीना की जानिब को जाए। जब हुजूरी का आलम आता हो उनको अफसानाए गम सुनाए, उनको अफसानाए गम सुनाए, फिर मदीना की जानिब को जाए। अपना जाना हो गर हमको वापस, अपना जाना हो गर हमको वापस, चुपके चुपके ये मांगे दुआए, चुपके चुपके ये मांगे दुआए, फिर मदीना की जानिब को जाए। मुझको अपना बना लो करम से, मुझको अपना बना लो करम से, ملتزم پر یہ مانگے دعائے ملتزم پر یہ مانگے دعائے پھر مدینہ کی جانب کو جائے تیرے در پر میرا سر ہو یا رب تیرے در پر میرا سر ہو یا رب جان اس طرح تجھ پر لوتھائے پھر مدینہ کی جانب کو جائے دونوں عالم کی کیا ہے حقیقت دونوں عالم کی کیا ہے حقیقت جتنے عالم ہو تجھ پر لوتھائے جتنے عالم ہو تجھ پر لوتھائے پھر مدینہ کی جانب کو جائے تیرا درد محبت سنا کر تیرا درد محبت سنا کر سارے عالم کو مجنوں بنائے پھر مدینہ کی جانب کو جائے سارے عالم کو مجنوں بنا کر میرے مولا تیرے گیت گائے میرے مولا تیرے گیت گائے پھر مدینہ کے جانب کو جائے سارے عالم میں پھر پھر کے یا رب سارے عالم میں پھر پھر کے یا رب تیرا درد محبت سنائے تیرا درد محبت سنائے پھر مدینہ کی جانب کو جائے لذتِ قربا کر تیری ہم لذتِ قربا کر تیری ہم لذتِ دو جہاں بھول جائے لذتِ دو جہاں بھول جائے پھر مدینہ کی جانب کو جائے در بدر دوندتا ہے یہ اختر در بدر دوندتا ہے یہ اختر اہلِ درد محبت کو پائے اہلِ درد محبت کو پائے پھر مدینہ کی جانب کو جائے پھر مدینہ کی جانب کو جائے
السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ الحمدللہ وکفا والصلاة والسلام علی سیدنا المصطفی صلی اللہ علیہ وعلی آلہ واصحابہ وبارک وسلم تسلیما کثیرا کثیرا اما بعد فاعوذ باللہ من الشیطان الرجیم بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم والذین آمنوا اشد حبا للہ صدق اللہ العظیم Last night or yesterday's مجلس I mentioned that the purpose of تلاوت of the Quran Sharif before a جلسہ for the purpose of the recitation of Anath Sharif before a bayan is not for entertainment purposes. The enjoyment, the lazzat that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has kept in the recitation of the Quran Sharif, especially if the person understands the meaning and he knows a little bit of tafsir, then it is bound to impact on the heart. But even if he does not know the tafsir and he doesn't know the mana and matlab, the meaning, even if he does not know that, but if the Quran Sharif is recited in a melodious and a sweet voice, then it is the kalam of Allah which is being recited. That is why it has such an impact on the hearts. People have accepted Iman, they have accepted Islam just by recitation of the Quran Sharif or listening to the recitation of the Quran Sharif from Qari Basit. In Russia, people accepted Islam in those days. He went there with President Nasser, who was the president of Egypt, or the king of the president of Egypt at that time. And he recited the Quran Sharif in an audience of communists. But people who were communists, they were tearing. Whether they thought they were listening to some very sweet music or whatever it was, but that was the impact that the Quran Sharif was having on their hearts. So if the Quran Sharif can have an impact on the hearts of communists and disbelievers, if Hazrat Shah Ataullah Bukhari Rahmatullah Alayhi could recite the Quran Sharif in court, when he was asked when the judge that what do you have to say in your defense, the British had arrested him so many times, he said, Meri aadhi zindagi jail mein guzri aur aadhi zindagi rail mein guzri. Somebody asked him about his zindagi, he said, Meri aadhi zindagi rail mein guzri, aadhi zindagi jail mein guzri. For the sake of deen, what mujahada they made. Since it is a gathering of students and ulama majority, that our akabir, this was their distinguishing trait and quality, that for the sake of deen they made sacrifices. And Allah Ta'ala gave them such tasir in their bayans, in their waaz, in their nasihats, that even disbelievers accepted Islam. When they went to jail, we do not know how many people they made Muslims in the prisons. The jail, wherever they used to go, it used to become a khanqa, it used to become a darul ulum, it used to become a madrasa, it used to become a place of waaz and nasihat. So they used to then seclude them, that you stay alone because now your bayan is having an effect on the others. So he, when he was asked what does he like to say in his defense, otherwise the judgment was going to be given that he will be executed or hanged. So he said, I want to read the Quran Sharif, some verses of the Quran Sharif. And he, when he used to recite, then it was as if the Quran Sharif was being revealed at that time. His bayans used to be from Isha till Fajr and nobody used to get up. That kind tasir Allah Ta'ala gave, that kind effect Allah Ta'ala gave in their words. Because those words were from the heart. And they were, and Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala was making ilqa of those words. The bayans of these akabir, that is why sometimes we find certain things they keep on repeating. But it's not they that are repeating, it is Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is putting it into their minds and hearts for the benefit of somebody in the audience. Because we take it for granted that we heard this yesterday and we heard this last week and we heard this last year. But there are new people that are coming all the time. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala looks at the talab of the people and then ilqa is made. If the shaykh is mukhlis, if the muqarrir is mukhlis, then his words are those which are coming. And then from his heart, in the capsule of Noor, it goes out into the Fiza. And from the Fiza, it enters the ears. Now it's no more words, it is that capsule of Noor. The words are in that capsule of Noor. How they put medication inside capsule, so that goes through the ears and it goes back into the heart. So if the speeches and the waaz and the nasihat of the mukhlisin can go an impact on the hearts, and yet they are words of the human being, it may be ilqai speech, but he can't call it wahi. He can't say that every word of that is ilqa and ilham. Some part of it may be ilqa, but yet if that can start having effect on the heart, then what about the kalam of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala? Won't it have an effect? So he said, I want to read the Quran Sharif. So he recited one chapter from the Quran Sharif somewhere, or one ruku. The judge was tearing, the prosecutor was tearing. It was in Pakistan, of course, there were Muslims. in Lahore took place. The audience were tearing. We don't know what happened to that judge, that in the judgment he said, discharged, after listening to the Quran Sharif. So many times this type of incidents happened in his life, where just the recitation of his Quran Sharif changed so many situations. So that is the purpose of the recitation of the Quran Sharif. It is not for waiting for the crowd to come. Mostly in jalsas, what they say, that still the people haven't come, so let some Qari Sahib read Quran Sharif. Na'uzu billah, is that what the Quran Sharif is for? That people haven't come, so keep them occupied with some Quran Sharif. People haven't come, so put somebody for Naat Sharif. It is not for that. Whether one person comes or just the Qari Sahib came, it is for ploughing, as I mentioned the other day, that it is for the ploughing of the field. The seeds of nasihat, which are going to be put into the ground of the heart. So you plow that ground, soften it with the recitation of the Quran Sharif. Listen to the Quran Sharif recitation. And if a person listens to it with ikhlas, then it must soften the heart. It will make the heart receptive to those nasihats that will be made. Listening to the Naat Sharif will create that love for Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that love for Madina Sharif, that love and muhabbat and ishq for Tajdare Madina, Sahib al-Awlaq. Sharifo mein Ashraf, the love for him Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, it will increase in the heart. Then after that, when we listen to the hadith also, then the seeds will germinate. But what happens is that sometimes you have to wait. These days you have, they say, some kind of grass that you plant and it grows same time. Or the next day you can see it growing and your turf is ready. So like that, some people's hearts are so receptive that the moment you put that seeds, you get your turf ready. You get the fruits there already. The tree has already grown miraculously. How many people we hear, they say, just one nasihat, just that one bayan, just that one majlis, and I gave up all my sins and I started making my namaz and I gave up my drug habit and TV habit and movie habit and everything. Now what was that? That person's heart was softened with the recitation of the Quran Sharif or the Naat Sharif or just that nasihat itself there to this Quran and Hadith, Tarjuma, what else it is, or meaning of that. So immediately it received it. There was germination and there was completion of the tree also, and it started bearing fruits also with the very next day. So these days if man is making such kind of progress that they want trees to grow extremely fast, that you plant overnight and next day that, or you plant it and overnight it is already germinating, it is growing, and in a few days time or few months time you start getting fruit. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has made hearts also like that. So some people's hearts, they start receiving, and if they are sincere, they are genuine, they've got real talab and they want to make a change, then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala brings about the changes in that person's life within a short period of time. And some people it needs more time. Allow it a little bit of time. But the seed inshallah, if the person listened with ikhlas and sincerity, then the seed will germinate one day. After 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, sometime much, much more. And then that person gets hidayat. Now he doesn't know where this hidayat came from. There was no apparent sign of what really happened. He thinks that some majlis somewhere after that affected his heart. But it is that first planting which is now bearing the fruit. Sometimes a little child is brought by some Ahlullah or the Mashayikh or the Walis of Allah or some pious and righteous person. Now that his child is still in napkins, is a baby, and say, Hazrat, is bachche ke liye dua kar dijiye. So now that Hazrat puts his hand over the head of the child and makes dua. Now that child is still in his napkins. Now he will grow, the child will grow, and then you will go to school, madrasa, and along the line may even go off beat somewhere. But then suddenly you find that there's a blooming and the spiritual fruits can be seen. So we will think that there was a change along the line somewhere after 20 years. But whereas it was actually the du'as which were made when the child was still in his napkins. We don't even know which du'a was accepted when, and the fruits will be seen when. So that is the purpose of the recitation of the Quran Sharif or Naat Sharif before a jalsa. So someday you will become muhtamims of madrasas, you will become ustads of Darul Ulooms, and there are jalsas, and you may be asked to organize. So at that time you must never have in your mind that when we are having the jalsa, then for the entertainment of the crowd, because they are still coming, so we will have some Naat Sharif and some Quran Sharif. That is disrespect to the Quran Sharif. It must not be for that. Even if it's two people there, the reading must be for the pleasure of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala and the crowd. As they come in, they must join and listen. But it must not be in anticipation of that, according to the program must carry on. Now those who are reading, because as I mentioned that the focus is on the students who have come from the Darul Ulooms, the others will benefit by the way, alhamdulillah. But this majlis is actually for them. Now for those of you whom Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has gifted, that you give a good speech, you are able to give a good speech, or you read Quran Sharif in a melodious and a beautiful voice, or there are other sifats that came of ilm and amal into your life, so there will be people who will give you mubarakbad, they will give you welcome, or they will make wahwah, they will make subhanallah, somebody will shake your hands and say, oh, what a beautiful voice, and somebody will say, what a beautiful recitation, and somebody will say that how inspired the person was. Now at that time, what must the person do? Because that's a very danger line. If the islah of the qalb is not made, if tazkiyah of the qalb is not made, then that person will attribute all that kamalat to himself, and that will be the beginning of his destruction, stepping stone to his destruction, because pride will come now. The person will forget all his uyub. In the wahwa of the people, the person forgets his uyub, his own weakness and his shortcomings and his sins and his masiyat and his nafarmani of Allah Ta'ala. Each and every person knows what his life is. But when the people make wahwa, at that time the person forgets who I am. He truly and sincerely believes that whatever they are saying, that is what I am. Again, that example of that person who was fed up, he was tired of that horse, because it was not giving him a comfortable ride and it was throwing off all the time. Or take the example of a car. The person was sick and tired of that car. Everywhere it was getting stuck and he had to push start, and every time it is in the garage. It was more in the garage than at home. So now the person was sick and tired, so he took it to the auction sale. Now the auctioneer, he has the gift of the gab. He knows how to sell. So when he started praising that car, that it rides like a Ferrari and it goes like a bullet and you haven't seen anything like it in the world, and from 0 to 100 in 1 second, when he started talking about that car, now this person who took it there, he says, when it is such a good car, such a speedy car, such a beautiful car, such a fast car, then why should I let it go in the auction sale? So he said, I'll take it back home. Now he knew, he tested that car, he drove it for so long, he had experience of the uselessness of that car. But just because somebody praised it, so he brought it back. He forgot his own experiences. So we have experience of what our nafs is doing to us, where nafs and shaitan are taking us, and what nafs and shaitan are doing to our spiritual life, each and every person knows. Allah Ta'ala knows where our eyes are seeing and what they are seeing. يَعْلَمُ خَائِنَةَ الْأَعْيُنُ وَمَا تُخْفِي الصُّدُورِ. That is why Allah Ta'ala says He knows the khiyanat of your eyes. Allah is aware of the khiyanat of your eyes and that which the heart conceals. Those places where nobody else can see. There's no x-ray in the world that can x-ray the heart and say that this is the condition of the heart in its spirituality. Or these are the sins that the heart committed and came. Man hasn't made that kind of x-ray. But Allah Ta'ala has given that kind of basirat. The x-rays are in the hearts of the awliya-i-kiram. Those machines which x-ray the hearts are the hearts of the awliya-i-kiram. Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala, how famous is that incident of his, that the person committed zina. After that he made his ghusl and all that and then he came to the majlis. Hazrat just looked at him once and then he said, what is happening to the ummah that people commit zina and then they come and sit in our majlis? Now nobody knew who he was talking about. He concealed that person's weakness. But where did he see it? One muhaddis was giving dars and one student came and participated in the Bukhari Sharif and he was in need of ghusl. He was in need of ghusl, but because of the time or whatever it was, or laziness, so he came and sat down in the dars. So the muhaddis, he looked at him. Now just to conceal that person's weakness and fault, so what he said, aaj to dars dene ko ji nahi chahta, pehle ji chahta hai ki hum jaakar jamna mein sab ghusl kar le. Now there were 10-20 students, whoever they were. So he said, take your lungis and let's go. We're going to have a swim first in the Jamna River, because that was just nearby. Now look at the taklif he took upon himself to also go and swim and go and shower and wash his... Whereas, I mean, they were not in need of ghusl. But so that student's ghusl becomes complete and then he comes back. And afterwards he called him one side and said, don't aisa nahi kiya karte. Khaufe khuda hona chahiye. Don't worry about shame. There is not shame that you have to say that I need ghusl, go make ghusl and come. But that is the shameful thing, that shameless thing, that you are in need of ghusl and you are reading Bukhari Sharif. So where did he see that? Or Imam Abu Hanifa Rahmatullah Ali in the wuzu water, he used to see the sins of the people. That's why he never used to look this side or that side, who is sitting on his sides. Because once he saw in the water that the person is disobedient to his parents. So he said, you mustn't be disobedient to parents. One day somebody was sitting on his right hand side or left hand side and was making wuzu, or was sitting on his right hand side, the water was flowing this way. So he looked at it, after that he saw the person and told him, you mustn't commit zina, make tawbah from zina. Then he thought that this is no good. So he stopped seeing on the right and left who's sitting. Now we don't have those kind of hearts. And I assure you that I don't have that kind of heart, so don't be scared. Otherwise just now everybody will disappear, then Maulana must be looking into our hearts. One person wrote, Maulana, can you see through into our hearts? I said, I need glasses to even read in this. Where I'm going to see into your heart? I can't see the paper properly, the writing, if it's small I can't read properly, where I'm going to read your heart? Nevertheless, that is the basirat that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gives to them. So we have tried, we have tested our nafs. We know how sharir it is, how fitteen it is, and how much of mischief it has created in our lives, how much of havoc it has created. We know it. So then the wah-wah of a few people, why should we suddenly think that we are the Junaid Baghdadis of the time? Or Bayazid Bustami of the time. बहुत से लोग समझते हैं कि हम बायजीद बन गए, अरे अभी तो वो यजीद भी नहीं बने। In Nizamuddin, when we used to go there as students, so there was one alim there, he used to give bayan. And he used to say, mere bhaiyo, bahut se log char chille dene ke baad yu samajhte hain ki hum abdal ban gaye. Are mere bhai, ab tak to hum dal bhi nahi bane, abdal kahan se ban gaye? Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayh, somebody wrote to him, इसे हजरत हमारे शहर में एक आदमी है वो कहता है कि वो अब्दाल में से है। तो हजरत रिप्लाइड, इसे हाँ वो सही कहता है, व्हाट ही सेइंग इज द ट्रुथ, ही सेज इज फ्रॉम अब्दाल। सो इज व्हाट ही सेइंग इज द ट्रुथ कि पहले वो गोश था, अब्दाल बन गया। आफ्टर ही मेड द लाउड क्लेम, सो नाउ ही बिकेम दाल, बिफोर ही वॉज गोश। जैसे अब दाल तो अब दाल बन गया, बिकॉज ही मेड अ फॉल्स क्लेम। सो व्हाट डज द पर्सन डू एज स्टूडेंट्स नाउ, व्हाट डू यू डू, बिकॉज अल्लाह ताला हैज गिवन यू अ गुड वॉइस एंड यू आर रीडिंग द कुरान शरीफ इन अ मेलोडियस एंड ब्यूटीफुल वॉइस, और यू रीड ब्यूटीफुल नात शरीफ, और यू गिव अ गुड वाज एंड नसीहत, और व्हेन यू बिकम इमाम्स एंड खतीब्स, देन so now this is something that worries the person, that what do I do? Must I refuse? I mustn't go ahead? What must I do? So the person must still go ahead, but he must change the niyat. His recitation must be for the pleasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And immediately he must look at his uyub. When somebody makes wah wah and somebody makes subhanallah and somebody starts praising the person on his speech and kalam, then he must straight away focus his gaze on his heart and see what is in the heart. He must start looking at his weakness and he must make shukr of Allah Ta'ala. Say, Ya Allah, it is your shukr, your ihsan upon me, your favor upon me, that in spite of my weakness, having so much of shortcomings, committing so much of sins in private life of mine, or seeing so many things which are haram to gaze, or listening to so many things which are haram to listen to, or speaking so many things which are haram to speak, or cooking up thoughts in my heart, fantasizing over those things which is haram to fantasize. Ya Allah, you are well aware of all that. So I make shukr of yours that you concealed my weakness from the people. And instead of my weakness, what you have shown to them is one good quality, which is a gift of yours. It is a ni'mat of yours. So I am making shukr over this ni'mat of yours. And I am making tawbah and istighfar over all those sins which I am committing, which these people are unaware of. One buzruk, somebody told him, "Hey riyakar, oh you show off." One woman told Hazrat Maulana Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali, one of the buzruks, she said, "Oh you riyakar." Now imagine if somebody else has to be told that, what he will say. Say, did you see my heart? Do you know with what intention I did it? How can you comment on my sincerity and ikhlas? I did it solely for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. You don't have the right to give any criticism. That's what we will say. But what he said? He said, bas tu ne mujhe pehchana. Logo ne mujhe nahi pehchana, but tu ne mujhe sahi pehchana. You are the one that truly recognized me, that I'm a riyakar. Now the person who was so mukhlis, so much of ikhlas he had, he says, no, you recognized me that I am riyakar. So immediately if the person looks at his weakness and shortcomings and makes shukr of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then pride won't come. That if you believe that these ni'mats are from Allah ta'ala, it is not my kamal. If it was my kamal, it must remain with me all the time. Whatever is a person's own, then it should be remaining with him all the time. But his life is not his intelligence is not his sight and gaze is not his heart is not his. So the ilm that he is getting and the amal that he is making, it is the tawfiq of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So it doesn't really belong to him. And you must fear that if I'm going to have pride, then Allah Ta'ala may snatch it away. One is the happiness that comes into the heart. Happiness is a different thing. If somebody congratulates someone and he doesn't get happy, then that's not a natural thing. There will be happiness. But together with that happiness, there must be a conscious awareness, conscious realization that it is a gift of my Allah Ta'ala. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has given me this and He can snatch it away if I'm going to be proud and arrogant and if I'm going to make fakhar. In fakhar is what? Fa, Kha and Ra. So, jo fakhar karta hai, you samjho ke pas wo khar ho gaya. Fa, goya ke wo khar ho gaya. Khar is gada. So, fakhar ke andar khar hai, ke wo gada ban jata hai. So, this person, when he has an achievement, now people say that no, you must be proud to announce what you are and who you are. Where there is a need to let somebody know what expertise you have, then at that time to conceal that expertise is not the natural thing to do. And it is not right. Now the person goes and asks somebody, are you an engineer? Because I want to put up a building. So he says, no, I'm not an engineer. So now he goes and looks for a carpenter. He asks him, are you a carpenter? Because I got some cupboards to make. He says, I'm not a carpenter. So now if everyone is going to say, I'm nothing, so how will the person put up his building? So there the person will have to say, yes, I am an engineer. The doctor will say, yes, I am a doctor. The specialist will say, yes, I am an eye specialist. I am this, I am that. But there too, the person is saying it by way of information. There's a difference. He is not saying it by way of pride. He is saying it by way of information that yes, Alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala has given me this expertise. Therefore, as students of Darul Ulooms, you have to remember that one is to consider yourself having more ilm than another person. Because this happens, the shan of ilm is that it gives you raf'at. Ilm is something, jab ilm aayega to usse raf'at aayegi. Ilm Allah Ta'ala ki sifat hai, Allah Ta'ala alim hai. So ilm ke andar khasiyat hai raf'at. So when that raf'at will come, now that is where the test will come. Ab agar takabbur aur ujub aa gaya, to phir wo gaya kaam se. So it is permissible to think of oneself as having more knowledge than another person. But it is not permissible to think of oneself as afzal, better than another person. There is a difference there. Person who is in standard 10 or grade 10, 12, whatever it may be. Now that person, how can he consider himself as having lesser knowledge than a class 2 or a grade 2 child? He cannot. Or the person who is in Ula and the other one is in Khamisa. Now it cannot, they both cannot be the same. The one has definitely got more knowledge than the other. So now if you tell him that no, you must annihilate yourself, meaning that you must not acknowledge also that you've got more knowledge than the other person, so that is not possible. You do have definitely more knowledge than the other person. But it is not permissible to think of oneself as afzal, better than, because that is only when Allah Ta'ala will announce on the day of Qiyamah that I am pleased with you, now you can go to Jannat, then only we will come to know whether we were afzal or not. Am aise rahe ya ke waise rahe, wahan dekhna hai ke kaise rahe. This you may have heard many times. But for every student of deen, this must always be before him. For every muballigh, for every muqarrir, and for every qari. Am aise rahe ya ke waise rahe, wahan dekhna hai ke kaise rahe. Am aise rahe ya ke waise rahe, wahan dekhna hai ke kaise rahe. When Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala will tell us that now I'm happy with you. The friends of one girl, they were grooming her and making her ready, the bride, to go to her husband's house, to the groom's house. So she began to cry. She said, "Why are you crying? This is the time to express happiness." She says, "I am crying because you are saying I look pretty and I look beautiful and I look like Miss World. But when my husband will be pleased with me and he will say you are beautiful and wonderful, then that will be the time to smile." So when our Allah will say, "I am pleased with you," then that will be the time for us to smile. At this stage we do not know in what condition our death will come. Khatima was something that every wali of Allah was worried about. So much so that every sahabi was concerned about khatima, about the last part of one's life. So much so that even the Khulafa'i Rashideen, we find them crying. Although they were given basharat of Jannat, but because we do not know. Kaise kaise aise waise ho gaye, aise waise kaise kaise ho gaye, kaise kaise aise waise ho gaye, aise waise kaise kaise ho gaye. How many people, they were sharabis, kababis, committing adultery, fornication, going to the cinemas, theatres, discos, and then they became aise waise. Kaise kaise they became. They were aise waise, they were useless people. People used to point fingers at them, that look at that dakharuka, and look at that drug addict, and look at that sharabi. But then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave them hidayat, and along the line they changed their direction and they started going in the direction of Jannat, direction of Allah ta'ala, direction of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and they became very great people. There were so many who were crooks. Hazrat Fuzail bin Ayaz, what was he at one time? And then he became the sheikh of great, great mashayikh, with the tawbah and istighfar and the return of the goods, whatever they may have stolen in those days. Then Allah Ta'ala gave him such height that in the silsila you get his name. So kaise, aise, waise, kaise, kaise ho gaye, they became pillars of noor, and Allah Ta'ala gave them ocean of knowledge. Or kaise, kaise, aise, waise ho gaye, how many of them, they were on a very high pedestal, but nafs and shaitan became ghalib. Ghurur came into their hearts. Kibar overtook them. Then they were in the first saf at one time. They started moving to the second, then third, then fifth, then outside the masjid, and then they left the masjid. Then people started asking, "What happened?" They said, "I don't know what happened. Again, I'm going back to my old habits." They came. They were in high pedestals with mashallah beard and kurta and the noor of taqwa and everything. And afterwards, due to pride or whatever it may be, suddenly there was a retrogress. Kaise, kaise, aise, waise ho gaye. So kibr and ujub, pride, vanity, all these are sifats of shaitan. And shukr is the sifat of a mu'min and believer. With shukr, a person gets more. لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. So shukr is giving the person qurb of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. It is giving him closeness of Allah ta'ala. And kibar, pride and ujub is taking him away from Allah ta'ala. So if the person is making shukr and then acknowledging that ni'mat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then pride won't come into the heart. The moment he believes that this is a gift of Allah ta'ala, it's a ni'mat of Allah ta'ala, then this ujub and pride won't come. How can it come? Because he says it's not mine. These people are praising, they're praising Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. إِذَا مُدِحَ الْمُؤْمِنْ رَبَى إِيمَانُهُ. If the person is a mu'min, mukhlis mu'min, mu'min kamil, then if he is praised, it increases his iman because it is a praise of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. His gaze straight away goes on to Allah ta'ala. I gave one example here, I think some must be a year or two ago, Allah knows when, that if there is a bride that is sitting in the hall and the whole crowd is gazing at her and they're talking very highly of her attire and of her jewelry and of her beautiful shoes, and then afterwards somebody comes in, walks into the hall and says that everything she is wearing is borrowed. I lent her the jewelry, I lent her the shoes, and I lent her the gown. Everything is mine. And because she did not acknowledge that it was given by me, and she was speaking lies, and she was arrogant, and she snubbed me, and she did this and did that, so I have come here to take all my things back now. Now if she goes there and says, bring the jewelry, bring this, bring that, what respect will be left of that bride? Because it is true that she lent everything, so now she wants it back. Now look at the embarrassment the person will suffer. In the same way, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, He has given us ilm, He may have given us beautiful recitation of the Quran Sharif, the ability to give good speech and waz, or to read in a beautiful voice Naat Sharif, or to write kitabs, or to make any other khidmat of deen. Now this person, if he is going to be arrogant, if this person is going to be full of pride and he's going to have vanity and ujub, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala snatches it away. Allah ta'ala has the power to snatch it away. Anytime he can snatch it away. He can say that you are not worthy of it, bring it back. It is just Allah ta'ala's ihsan. Our weakness and shortcomings Allah ta'ala conceals. And Allah Ta'ala is so merciful, so forgiving, so compassionate, so loving and caring, that in spite of all our weakness and sins and everything, but Allah Ta'ala still goes on showering His ni'mats upon us. For if Allah Ta'ala is to only expose the sins that people commit, that we commit in the darkness of nights or in the privacy of our lives, which are concealed from the eyes of the people, if Allah Ta'ala is to expose it, then nobody will come near us to. So each one knows what he is engaging in, what he is doing. We cannot cheat and deceive and fool Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. We can fool ourselves and we can fool the families and we can fool our society with our outward appearance and with our outward garb of piety, our outward garb of taqwa, our outward garb of taharat and nafasat, and our garb of the solaha, which is essential, we must wear it. But we must never be mistaken that just the wearing of the garb automatically purifies the heart. It doesn't. It is only in the sohbat of the mashayikh, in the sohbat of the ahlullah, that we get a true picture of what is in our heart. They x-ray it and they give us the x-ray that, see, this is your condition. Tumhare andar ye hai, to ye hai, ye bimariya hai, ab uska ilaj karo. In their majlis, then we get our haqiqat before us. All the false impression that we have of ourselves, it all vanishes. And we begin to realize that indeed my heart is not in a good condition. The ECGs that they do, the cardiologist, that can give you the condition of your physical heart, but it can't give you the condition of your spiritual heart. But in the majlis of the solaha and the mashayikh, then there we get the condition of our spiritual heart. That it is diseased, there's so much of filth in there, there's so much of malice there. In our dealings with people, then we come to know how much of filth is in there. The person can be sitting in a majlis 20 years or 30 years, but if he hasn't made islah of his akhlaq, then his family won't be happy with him. His parents won't be happy with him. His wife won't be happy with him. His in-laws won't be happy with him. They will always say that this person is very mischievous, is very shrewd, is very cunning, and he says such words that it tears up our heart, it slices our heart, it hurts us, it injures us. The person will say that this person's heart is not right, because that person didn't make an effort to improve the condition of his spiritual heart. When they went and attended the majlises and the programs also, it was just to increase some knowledge, or just for entertainment, or just to pass time, or just to be seen that also I was there. So then this is what will happen. So these mashayikh, they put our hearts in front of us and say that this is the condition of your heart, and it is seriously damaged. There's a lot of disease in that heart, and it needs purification. If not, then you will go to the grave with malice and with greed and with pride and with arrogance and with envy and with jealousy. Now imagine going to the grave with that kind of a heart. So where else are we going to purify those hearts? If purification could be obtained through kitab reading, then everybody would have become a wali of Allah Ta'ala by now, just by reading. But we know that we read and we read and we seem to be still there. So the reading is also essential. But it must not be just reading. We must make the hal, or hal jo hai zul hal se banta. If you go by a person who's got hal, then you will get hal. Otherwise we get only qal. In these days it is mainly qal. Speeches. Alhamdulillah, you are mostly from Azad Wal Darul Uloom and other Darul Uloom. So you are doing tafsir, you are doing Hadith Sharif, you are doing fiqh, and you are doing other kitabs. So I am not giving you any other tafsir or commentary of Hadith or giving some dars. What I am saying is that what we have already learnt, now it becomes essential that we make it our hal, our condition. If we read about taqwa, then taqwa must come in our life. We read about tawakkul, then tawakkul must become our life. We read about sabr and shukr, then sabr and shukr must become our lifestyle. This makes, if the person is reading about sabr and he knows the tarif of sabr and he knows the ahadith on sabr and the ayats of the Quran Sharif on sabr, but when the occasion comes for sabr, then he is not making sabr, then we will say that this person has the knowledge of sabr, but it is not in his life. Because you have to make sabr anil masiyat. We have to make sabr anil masiyat. That when the taqaza is there to make guna and sin, the person makes sabr. He says, my Allah is displeased, so I will withhold myself from committing this sin, no matter how difficult it may be on my nafs. The taqaza is there of committing the sin, but the person restrains himself. He's making sabr anil masiyat. He has to make sabr ala ta'at. It is difficult to get up early morning, it's very cold. To get out of the warm blanket, the person is feeling it difficult. But he says, I will make sabr and I will get out. I will take the difficulty, but it is time for fajr, so I have to make my fajr salat. So he has to make sabr on ta'at. And then he has to make sabr on the musibats. That when any takleef comes, any pareshani comes, any difficulty comes, then he does not express restlessness, he does not complain of Allah Ta'ala. So many people, when the difficulty comes, they say, oh, I was the only person left, Allah Ta'ala, na'uzu billah, couldn't find anybody else. And what kind of Allah Ta'ala is that? I'm making dua also, but look at it, my takleef is not going. So we don't look at the sins that we commit, and sometimes it is a blessing. Hazrat Haji Imdadullah Rahmatullah Alayhi was saying that Bemari bhi ek rahmat hai. He was giving a bayan and he was saying Bemari bhi rahmat hai. And the virtues of having patience when you are sick. So a person came, just walked in that time, and he says got terrible pain in his hand, and was make dua that Allah Ta'ala give him shifa. His hand got injured somewhere. So says Mujaddid Millat Rahmatullah Alayhi, he says, now we are surprised, we are just wondering now what will he say. Because he was saying that Bemari bhi ek rahmat hai. So now if he says, Ya Allah, iski bemari ko dur kar de, so So what he is really saying is, take his rahmat away. Because bimari is rahmat, and now he's making dua that, Ya Allah, take this bimari away. So what you are saying, Ya Allah, I don't want rahmat, take it away. So now look at how they were jame. So immediately he made dua. He said, Ya Allah, bimari bhi rahmat hai. Aur sehat bhi rahmat hai. Lekin hum chunke bahut kamzor hai, isliye bimari ki rahmat ko sehat ki rahmat se badal de. Bimari is rahmat too, and sehat, health is also rahmat. Because we are very weak, oh Allah, change the rahmat of sickness to the rahmat of good health. So this person has to make sabr on so many different things. So that sabr must become the haqiqat of the person. It must come into his life. The same way tawakkul, we make a lot of tawakkul. But it is words, it's qal. When the real test comes of tawakkul, then we fail. Tawakkul doesn't mean that you don't make use of the means and you just say, I trust in Allah Ta'ala. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, tie the camel and then put the trust. So we make use of the means, but then our trust must be in Allah Ta'ala. Our complete faith and trust, tawakkul, must be in Allah Ta'ala. Now do we have that kind of tawakkul? When it comes to shukr, do we make shukr of the ni'mats of Allah Ta'ala? All we know is shukr alhamdulillah, that's all. And then after eating, when the strength comes into the body, now the person is committing zina. Ask that person if he had to be tied up and strapped up to a hospital bed and with tubes all over his body. At that time, if somebody has to ask him that, do you want that illicit love of yours now, or do you want shifa from this sickness? What will he say? Why will he forget his bad habits that time? So the food is given by Allah Ta'ala. The shukr of that ni'mat is according to that ni'mat. The shukr of the eye is that you don't see haram. The shukr of the ears is you don't listen to haram. The shukr of the hands is you don't touch anything that is haram to touch. The shukr of the feet is that you don't walk towards those places where it is haram to go to. The shukr of the intelligence is that you don't use it for fraud and other haram activities. For lots of people, the intelligence is being used for what? For fraud, for cheating, for permutation in the horse racing, which horse will come out first. So for gambling, they use the intelligence. Now that is what intelligence was given for. So the shukr of every ni'mat is in accordance with that ni'mat. Whatever is that ni'mat, then we make shukr according to that ni'mat. So now shukr must become our life. It must become our mizaj. So all these things which we read in the kitabs, in our 5 years or 6 years of studies in Darul Uloom or wherever it is, all the waaz and nasihats and everything that we listen, so listening we get sawab. But that haqiqat must come into our lives. That is the purpose of these type of majlises, that we must bring it now into our lives. We must get the himmat and the courage to come out of those sins, to shun those sins. Because until then we will never find peace in our lives. There won't be sukoon, there won't be tranquility in our hearts. There will be earthquakes and tremors in our hearts. Outside we hear a lot of tremors and earthquakes and disasters. But the person who is committing sins, Allah Ta'ala shakes up his heart, the sukoon of his heart is gone. He doesn't experience any kind of joy and happiness inside. Again, that example of Shah Abdul Ghani Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, he was eating dal. And I said, I will repeat these examples if it comes to my mind, whenever it comes. He was eating dal. So he said, bahut badi ne'mat hai. Aur mujhe is dal mein biryani ka maza aa raha hai. I'm enjoying this dal. I'm getting the taste of biryani in it. So Hazrat Shah Ki Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Damat Barakatum said, Hazrat, how can you get the taste of biryani in dal? He said, isliye ke mera Allah mujhe khila raha hai. My Allah is feeding me. He said, and how can that be? How can Allah be feeding you? He says, I see the hand of Allah behind this hand of mine. Who is it that is giving me the strength to pick up this hand and put this morsel into my mouth? If Allah Ta'ala paralyzes this hand, can I pick it up and put here? So I am seeing the Qudrat of Allah, I am seeing the hand of Allah Ta'ala behind my hand, that it is making me pick up the morsel and put it to my mouth. So if somebody is beloved, has to pick up morsels and put into his mouth, he won't enjoy. These illicit beloveds, the person enjoys so much. So those who got ruhaniyat, and their beloved is no one else but Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So when they getting this feeling that my Allah is feeding me, what enjoyment they must be getting. So we, as I always say, we don't even get the enjoyment of dal in our biryanis because of our anxieties and worries and restlessness. Our homes are on fire, our families are on, have already entered World War IV. World War III is passed long ago for them. Nothing but feuds, arguments, quarrels, disputes. So now will this bring any kind of peace in a person's life? It will bring restlessness, it will bring anxieties and worries. Then when the person is eating food also, there's going to be no enjoyment in that food. So that is the whole purpose of this exercise, that we x-ray the condition of our hearts. We don't take it for granted that just because we have got a nice beard, we've got a nice kurta, and we've got a garb of the walis of Allah Ta'ala, so therefore our hearts are also in that condition. Our namazas must not deceive us. In the first place, our namazas haven't got that khushu and khuzu. But we must make shukar of Allah Ta'ala in whatever condition. We mustn't give up that namaz. We must improve that namaz. And we mustn't give up this libas of the salihin. We mustn't say that now, because we don't have that kind of a heart, so therefore let us wear the garments and the clothes which the film actors and actresses wear. It doesn't mean that. Or the kuffar and the mushrikeen. We must wear the same garb of the salihin, but then we must keep the respect of that garb. That means the haqiqat of all these things must come in our lives. Our dealings with people, it must reflect that this person has got taqwa in his heart. The honesty must be reflected. In our speech, in our talk with our family members, in our dealings with our wives, our children, our parents, our clients, our customers, that humility, that tawazu must be apparent. It must not be that we are just speaking, man tawada'a lillah rafa'ahu Allah, that whoever humbles himself for the sake of Allah, Allah gives him elevation. But that is just speech. Now, are we prepared to accept our mistakes? Even if a little child has to point out and say that this is your mistake, this is an error, this is something wrong that you are doing, Allah Ta'ala is displeased with this, then we must not tell the child, mind your own business. Or that person is our subordinate, he's our staff, or he's our student, or he's somebody that we normally reprimand. But now he has to point and say, Hazrat, oh my boss, this is not right what you are doing. I can see what your relationship is with this secretary of yours. I have observed certain things which are haram that you are doing. Your wife may not know of it, but I can see what you are doing here in the office. So now he mustn't say, I'll fire you, I'll dismiss you, and what you are talking to me like as if you are my boss. That will show that there's so much of kibar in his heart still. There's ghurur and takabbur in there. And Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, then what does he do with such type of people? Wada'ahu Allah. Allah brings them down. There were so many names that we heard one time. Today we don't know where those people are gone. We do not know where those companies vanished. There's no sign left. So let us not be proud. Yes, make shukar over any achievement. Make shukar of Allah Ta'ala if he gives us the tawfiq of making amal. Make shukar of Allah Ta'ala if he gives us some ni'mat, and then use it in the correct way, that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will give barakat in that. La in shakartum la azidannakum. There's a promise, Allah Ta'ala will definitely give an increase. Whoever has suffered, I always say that whoever has suffered in the business world or in his private life, and if that person was charitable, then it's not the charities that has affected the person, it is the sins of the person which has affected him. Because when he's indulging in zina, then the zina will take away the barakat of all that business too, and of his life too. When the person is dealing with interest, borrowing and giving, then it'll take away all the barakat, because now he's under the curse of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So we must make a lot of dua to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that he must give us the tawfiq of making amal and protect us and safeguard us from all the fitnas which are lashing at us from all sides in these days. Allah ta'ala must give us the best of dunya and the best of akhirat. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammadin mubarik wa sallim. Ay Allah, hum gunegar hai, siyakar hai, vatkar hai, sab kuch hai, bande magar tere hai. Ay mere piyare Allah, hum sab ke gunahu ko maaf farma. Oh Allah, forgive our sins. Oh my beloved Allah, we are extremely sinful servants of yours. But we are extending these begging bowls before you. Oh my Allah, forgive the sins that we committed knowingly or unknowingly. The sins that we committed in the light of day or darkness of nights. The sins that we committed, whether they were major or minor. Ay Allah, forgive the sins of our eyes, of our ears, of our tongues, of our hands and feet, of our heart and mind. Ay mere pyare Allah, something that is very beloved to you is the forgiveness of the sins of the sinners. Ay Allah, hum kamzor hai, hum zaif hai, hum natawa hai. Ay Allah, hum sab kuch hai, bande magar tere hai, tujhe chhod ke hum jaye kahan. Tere siwa koi hamara sahara nahi, tere siwa koi hamara nahi. Ay Allah, hum sab ko sehat de, afiyat de, salamati de, izzat de. Ay Allah, hum ko deen bhi de aur dunya bhi de. Ay Allah, bless us with your marifat, with your yaqeen, with tawakkul in you, with a life of sabr, of shukr, of zuhud, of taqwa, of qanaat. Ay Allah, bless us with the best of dunya and the best of akhirat. Ay Allah, dushmanan islam ko ya to hidayat de, ya unko aad aur samud ki tareeke se halak aur barbaad farma. Ay Allah, give us such a bond with you that nafs and shaitan cannot distance us from you. Ya Allah, give us the realization that in sins there's nothing but restlessness, anxieties, worries and problems. Ay Allah, give us the realization in your obedience to you and your Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we will find tranquility, serenity and comfort of our hearts. Ay Allah, ek din marna hai, aakhir maut hai. Ay Allah, ek din marna hai, aakhir maut hai. Ay Allah, so many janazas we shouldered. One day our janaza will also proceed to the qabristan. Ay Allah, before that day comes, give us the tawfiq of sincere tawbah from all sins. Ay Allah, before the water of mayyit is poured over our bodies, give us the tawfiq of pouring the water of tawbah over our hearts. Ay Allah, before the garment of kafan is put over our bodies, Ay Allah, give us the tawfiq of putting the garment of taqwa over our hearts. Ay Allah, we have made our hearts into dirt boxes. Ay Allah, we have made our hearts into garbage bags. We have filled them with pride, with arrogance, with jealousy, with envy, with greed, with evil passions and desires. Ay Allah, bless us with purification of our hearts. Ay Allah, jab hamari maut ka waqt aaye to khatima iman ke upar farma. Madina tayyiba ke andar hame maut naseeb farma. Ay Allah, jannatul baqi ke andar dafan naseeb farma. Ay Allah, all the duas that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam made of goodness for us, bless us with that goodness. Bless our parents with that goodness, our wife and children with that goodness, and the entire ummah with that goodness, and from all the mischief and corruption and fitnas that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asked for protection. Oh Allah, protect us, our wives and children, our parents, and the entire ummah of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Those who have lost their parents, wives, children, brothers or sisters, Ya Allah, bless them with Jannatul Firdaus. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka anta as-sami'ul alim wa tub alayna innaka anta at-tawwabur rahim. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala khayri khalqihi wa nuri arshihi sayyidina ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد وآله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا رب.